My spiritual beliefs don't do too much good if they stay here at church, or if they stay in my heart and in my head. And our Unitarian Universalist faith teaches us well the importance of putting those beliefs into action in social justice. The authenticity part comes from just how we do that. Of the millions and billions of people in this world, there's an array of how people respond when they see or learn about injustice in the world. I'm only going to speak about my response. To me, sometimes the big picture is too big. The big picture makes some social justice issues feel too far away from my world. Racial inequality, environmental destruction, immigration, homelessness, prison reform, all valid concerns of our world that need our attention, but very big issues that are unapproachable to someone like me, someone quiet, introverted, not real comfortable with power or attention. I'm very grateful that the world includes people willing to tackle these issues through things like legislation, grassroots organizing, and protesting. I'm very grateful for you, but that's not me. I need a more personal approach. And I've gradually learned over time that not being able to tackle problems on this large scale does not mean that I cannot be a force toward improving them. My comfort zone is just on a more personal level. Sometimes I worry that what I do is not enough. Sometimes I worry about it. But I've decided that if I am brave in a loving way, and this helps one person around me directly, or maybe it serves as a model for someone else, then this might be good. I wanted to give you a few examples of what I'm talking about. And one of these examples happened during a senior youth group trip as we were serving dinner at Rosie's place, which was a wonderful experience. It's a great trip. It's a great thing if you ever get to do it. But on this particular day, I became aware, as did a few of the youth, that although we were being very helpful and very busy serving food and helping the women that came in, we were very much together in our own group behind the counter serving dinner. And the women were very much on the other side of the counter in the dining room eating their dinner, eating their food. So one of the youth came to me and asked, "Is it okay if I go sit down and chat with one of the women over there who is eating her meal?" I wasn't sure if it was okay, so we went and asked the staff, and they said, as long as it's all right with the guests that you're talking about, of course. So the youth went and did that, and she went and she sat down with this woman. They just chatted. They didn't talk about anything earth-shatteringly important, but they chatted one-to-one on a personal level. And so, as happens so often, this member of our youth group showed me that the important thing was not only to serve dinner at Rosie's place, was not only to go out and do these actions, but to connect personally, to actually sit down and talk with one of the women having their meal, to actually go have a conversation with the woman who came through the line and asked for no mushrooms on her salad, to learn that she is a person just like us, who likes some foods and doesn't like others. She has a right to that preference without someone judging her and thinking that it means she's not appreciative of the food. She was very grateful. She just doesn't like mushrooms. And this interaction feels like a connection with authentic respect and love for a person that may initially have seemed so different from us, that they seemed scary and unapproachable. Sitting down and getting to know this woman was a brave step outside of the comfort zone for our youth group member. But this made her experience much more valuable. And rather than judging this stranger for the circumstances that caused her to be at Rosie's seeking food and shelter, we were able to see her as a human that is in a tough situation and needs help, but a human just like us. My second example is still a work in progress. I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about the COVID pandemic and the subsequent quarantine, which caused the world to stop driving. That's, of course, an overstatement. But it did happen that people drove much less and stayed home more. And as a result, there was a significant improvement in our air quality in much less time than anyone ever thought possible. How much time have we spent trying to figure out this problem, trying to clean our air, trying to help our environment? And here the universe gave us an answer. Stop driving so much. But now the world is starting to open up a bit. And it makes me a little bit nervous. And I want to take this opportunity to hold on to that space that we created, that space where we really did help our environment. I obviously can't continue to stay at home at all times, although I'd sort of like to, but I can make some changes. Can I consider changing where I work so that I do not commute 2 hours every day? If my current job couldn't consider a work from home option, would I leave my job, which is my dream job that I wanted for such a long time? Could I leave that job and work more locally in order to impact the world a little bit? On a more everyday vein, could I think about not dashing off to the grocery store every single time I need one item for something that I'm cooking? Can I take this opportunity to change my status quo, which involves not really thinking about the quality of our air, at least not when it involves big changes to my lifestyle? So this is how compassion and authenticity come together for me. Do I feel unconditional love and compassion only for those people that look like me and think like me? Do I feel genuine concern for our environment enough that I could make a significant decision to give up a job that I love, to change my everyday actions? I have not decided that last question, but I'm contemplating it. How do I gather the strength and courage to make changes that will impact the world outside of my life? I call on my faith, my spiritual guidance to help me look at my own racism, my own privilege, to help me see when I'm empathetic only toward those that I'm comfortable with. I need my faith and my spiritual belief in a loving world to push me past what is comfortable and to make changes that are realistic but meaningful. This congregation is my touchstone. And it's my constant reminder that there are issues to be addressed to make our world more equitable and more loving. It's my source for spiritual resources. It's my source for strength and guidance that I need to find my way on this path. I pray for this guidance. I pray for forgiveness when I don't make the mark. I pray for strength to do what is right. And then I pray for forgiveness when I have to apologize and try again. So I'd like now to take a few minutes to lead you through a brief version of the loving kindness meditation. Some of you may know this meditation. It's a Buddhist meditation. It's also called the Metta meditation. It'll be a little bit short today because I want to save time for us to have sharing, but I think that you'll get the idea of what we do in this meditation, and I really hope that some of you may try it on your own as well. It's a powerful practice. So please find a comfortable place to sit. Get comfortable and take a few deep breaths. Let's take three big deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth. To you. Surround them with your love and say, may you be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. May you, my family and friends, be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. May you be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. Now being very aware of the strong, loving connection from yourself to your family and your friends, I want you to visualize someone that you don't know, a stranger to you. It might be the neighbor that you wave to, the woman that delivers your mail, the man you noticed in the next line over at the grocery store. You have no feelings about them, positive or negative. But see that person in your mind, hold them, and send them love and compassion. Bring the love from your heart to your family, out to this stranger. And say to that stranger, may you be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. May you be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. May you be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. And now from this circle of love that goes from you to your family to this stranger, I'd like you to visualize before you a person that you might be struggling with, someone you might be angry with, someone you might disagree with. Could be a family member, could be someone you work with, could be one of the world leaders. See that person before you. See them whole. And send your feelings of love and compassion to this person. Letting go of your thoughts and feelings about them. Sending them love. And say to them, may you be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. May you be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. May you be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. And now, before closing, we're going to go one step further. We're going to extend these feelings of unconditional love out into the universe, to all beings, and say, may all beings in this universe be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. May all beings be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering. May all beings be happy, perfectly healthy, and free from suffering.